Please stand for the reading of the gospel. As the Lord speaks to us today from the gospel of Luke chapter 2 verses 22 to 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Savior is born, amen?
Amen.
Christmas is my favorite time of year, and I don't know, some might disagree. It's okay, your sins are forgiven. It's just always a special time. There's so much tradition evolved around it, you know. I love coming to church on Christmas Eve with my whole family. I love going down the hill and spending time with extended family that we don't get to see a lot. But really, in the past few years, it's been this changing of, you know, it used to be you get to receive gifts when you're a kid, and now it's kind of fun to give gifts to people and, you know, bring joy to them. I think that's really what's most important about this Christmas season. And I'm going to just go right into it. I think, and I don't think many of you would, I mean, I might get some people who would disagree, it'd be an argument, but I think that the birth and life of Jesus Christ is the most pivotal turning point in human history. Because prior to this, you know, we were under the law. Our relationship with God was broken, and we could only redeem that through following the law and through works. And when Jesus was born, salvation is only through Christ. So we're absolutely dependent on God now. That's what the birth of Christ meant. You're dependent on God. And yet, it's our very sin, our human nature, it's a sad reality that we have the God who created the universe on our side, and yet we still try to do things for ourselves. We don't want to relinquish control to God. We don't want to trust God. So that's the very heart of our sinful nature, is we don't want to trust God. So when I saw this reading on Simeon, I was excited, because Simeon's one of those great examples of, those biblical examples of someone who really trusts God. And Simeon had the Spirit upon him. Now, some are would say that that Simeon trusted God because he had the Spirit upon him. The Spirit revealed to him, you'll see the Christ before you die. And he spent his whole life, you know, believing in that. So some would say because he had the Spirit, that's why he trusted. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think that the Spirit is what gives us trust in God. I think that it's our trust in God that gives us the Spirit. In Romans, it talks about how those who are living the sinful life, they don't focus on God. They focus on things of this earth. They focus on the sinful nature. And those who are with the Spirit focus on things of the Spirit. So if you're someone who trusts God, you're someone who's focused on what God has for your life, then you have the Spirit. So I believe that your trusting in God results in the Spirit being upon you, not the other way around. So Simeon was a man who trusted God. I know that for two reasons. The first reason is that he was where God needed him to be. So he was in the temple when he encounters Jesus. I don't think this was the first time Simeon ever went to the temple. Different religious beliefs believe different things about Simeon. There's the belief that he was a saint. Different historians believe he might have translated portions of the Bible. The text suggests he might have been a high priest, and that was why he was in the temple. I'm not going to talk about any of that. What we know from the text, Simeon was a man, right? Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. We're on the same page. So, Simeon, as a human, is subject to all the same physical and emotional things that hinder us. Simeon's a man, and I know two things about a man. Man's got to eat, man's got to sleep. Amen? I'm sure there's any number of reasons why Simeon might not have felt like going to the temple that day. It's just like us on any given Sunday. We could probably come up with plenty of reasons, especially when it's snowing outside. But Simeon was a man who trusted God, and he was where God needed him to be. He had been given this promise that you would see the Lord's Christ before you died. And in the meantime, he trusted that promise and was where he needed to be, serving God in the temple. So that's the first reason. Second reason I know Simeon's a man who trusts God, he heeds the word of God. He values the word of God. It's important to him. And I think that's reflected in his prayer. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. He trusts the word of God. He remembers what God promised him. He was paying attention. He said, here's the Lord's Christ. I can depart in peace. More than that, he remembers what's promised to him, but he also has remembered what's promised to all of us, that there would be a Christ who would redeem not only Israel, but the Gentiles. He's not one of these devout Jews who believes that the Christ was only for them. He knows the prophecies. He heeds the word of God because it's important to him, and he trusts God. So Simeon is a man that trusts God. Now, what he says next is very important also. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So this child will be the fall and rise of many in Israel, and the hearts of many will be revealed. As Christians, when we think about the birth of Christ, we focus on salvation. And rightly so. Jesus is our source of salvation. And we believe that Christ came. He came as a man, and he told us, and he showed us the love of God, told us the word of God, and died death on a cross, his love beyond any love the world had ever experienced. And that's where our salvation comes from. That's what we believe. Now, imagine for a second that you're someone who hears all this, knows about Jesus, knows about every aspect of his life, and chooses not to believe. Is this story your salvation? It's not. That's what he means. A lot rise because of what happened here, and a lot fall. It's your choice. It's salvation if you choose to accept it. And it really resonated with me on our Christmas Eve service. You're the reason for the season. Christ loved you. God loved you. And he sent his son to die for you. And it's yours to accept. You have to have faith in the evidence that's there to receive that salvation. So thinking about that, I have a tough question to ask. If we believe this, if we really believe that Christ came, died for our sins, that God loved us, that God had a plan for us from the very beginning of time, then what is so difficult about giving our lives to him, trusting our lives to God? I mean, if we have eternity ahead of us, why is it that this finite number of years is so hard to trust him with? If we believe he has a plan for us, why can't we put that into action? The answer is sin, and the solution is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know. I can't even pretend to know what everyone's struggling with in this room. The different things that you have to go through. The different things that are holding you back from trusting God. I don't even know all the reasons why I can't trust God completely. But I do know that that's why we're here, isn't it? We're here to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to come closer to God together. So we get equipped to go out into battle against Satan and trust what God has for us, trust our commander's plan. Amen? So that's my prayer. Whenever I think about you guys down the hill or wherever I'm up here, I pray about you guys. And mainly what I focus on in prayer is that you would be we'd be a church of individuals and a church as a community that trusts God through our prayers and through our action. Now let me say this. What I do believe is that when you trust God in your prayer, you're putting your focus on the things of God, aren't you? If you're trusting God, if you're praying that you would do the things that God wants you to do, you're putting your mind in the things that the Spirit wants for you. And so, you're in the Spirit, and the Spirit is upon you, and that is going to dictate your actions. So, I want us to be a church that is trusting of God in both our prayers and our action. But if we focus on the prayer, the action comes along with that. So that's going to be my focus today. So let's look at Simeon's prayer again. Let's look at what Simeon's prayer is not. He doesn't hold the baby Jesus. He doesn't look down at the baby Jesus and say, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to die." He doesn't say, "Okay, hang on, hold that for a second." He doesn't come over here and say, "God, I know we talked about this. We talked about this, like I'm going to die because that's the Lord's Christ, but just give me a couple more years. I just need a few more. Just got to get a couple things taken care of, and then I can go." Okay, good. Wait. When it is time, I don't want it to hurt. Just quick. Okay. When I go, don't give my stuff to him. I don't want my stuff to go to him. That's absurd. Prayer is not about supplication. You're not asking, gimme. If you're like that, then aren't you going to miss something? The way God's blessing you over here, if you're so busy over here asking for stuff? Simeon doesn't respond to his promise being fulfilled by asking for more promises. He gives thanks to God and says, "Your servant can depart in peace. You fulfilled your promise to me. You fulfilled your promise to all of humanity." Think about it in terms of our reading today. If God is our Father, Abba Father, there's parents and grandparents out here, right? How many times have your children asked you for something that you knew was a terrible idea? Right? Isn't it more with our Holy Father, the one who controls our lives? He knows what's best for us. And if you're asking for 10, 20 things, and let's say God's like, "You know what? That is good. That is what I had planned for you." And he gives that to you. Aren't you going to look at that from the perspective of, "Well, I got 5% of what I wanted"? You're not going to be grateful. We have to approach prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving if we're going to trust God. We have to thank God for what he's already done in our lives, and we have to be attentive to that. Philippians, if you get a chance, is a great book. It's four chapters. It all comes back to this one idea, that we are to praise and give thanksgiving to God with our lives. Philippians 2:5 says that we're to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. In all things, we're supposed to approach it with humility. We can't reach equality with God. We're less than God. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Be anxious about nothing, with thanksgiving. I'm a college student, so I spend 50% of my time worrying about tests that I'm not going to take for another month, and the other 50% of the time sleeping. This is hard to do. I'm not going to deny that it's hard, but if we approach it from an attitude of thanksgiving in all of our prayers, that's the first step in trusting God. Because if you see and recognize the things that he's doing for you, you're going to recognize that he still is doing things for you. He continues to do things for you. And this is someone you can entrust with your life. So if we're to mimic Christ, there's two examples in Christ's prayer that we can follow. The first is the one we do every Sunday, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name, the name above all names. It starts off with praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, your will. You submit right there. You praise and you submit to his will. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need. And a little caveat here, if you're going to pray to God and ask him what you need, you don't have to tell God what you need. He's your parent. He knows. You just pray. If you're praying for what you need, then you're trusting God that he knows what you need. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I mean, if there's one thing that I think we should pray for in supplication, it's that we love like Jesus loved. And that's a whole different sermon that I could go on about. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You return to that position of praise. This is, Pastor told me this one time, every Jewish prayer is like this. It's praise, your supplication, and praise. You give thanksgiving to God for what he's done to you. You make your requests. You come before God with thanksgiving and prayer. That's what it says in Philippians. The other example, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ is scared. Understandably so. He's about to die for the sins of the world. And you know what he says? He says, if it be your will, have this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. I think this is probably the hardest part about trusting God. There's times in our life where it's really, really difficult to give up something that big and say, it's in your hands, God. And again, it's something we all have to work on together. But here's my point of application. If you start trusting God right now with the small things in your life, if something big comes along, it's going to be a lot easier to trust them, isn't it? If you start just with today, if you wake up this morning and say, God, I'd just like to see your will in my life today. If you open your Bible some point during the day, you just say, God, show me what I need to hear this morning. Show me what I need to hear today. Show me what I need to hear tonight for tomorrow. If you're going to talk to someone, maybe that, you know, it's a struggle to talk to this person, or it's someone that maybe doesn't know Christ. You know this person doesn't know Christ. If you pray that Christ, God, give me just an opportunity, if it be your will, to share you with this person. I was kind of amazed at a pastor I met down the hill one time. He said he prayed every time him and his wife went out to a restaurant. That's kind of an interesting, you know, thing to pray about. But it's that he wanted chances to encounter people. And sometimes, you know, they just went and had dinner. But other times, remarkable things would happen that he didn't expect. And it's because he left his house with the intent of doing God's will. So if there's anything you take from today, it's that. Try trusting God with the little things. If you struggle with the big things, I mean, I bet there's people in this room too that already have profound trust. But it's starting with the small things and trusting God with the bigger things. Ultimately, I don't think that we trust God for our own benefit. Because I don't think there's any other thing that we can do but trust God. There's no other solution. There's no other way by which we're saved. There's no other way which we can live our lives if we truly believe the gospel. Ultimately, I think the fruit of you trusting God is God's glory. That's the way we glorify God, is by trusting him and living out his purpose. And that's what the story of Simeon is. He was a man who lived his entire life holding on to God's promise. And in the end, he saw it fulfilled, and he saw the greatest promise God has ever made fulfilled. It's a pretty profound story. But I think that our stories can be pretty profound also. Because if we choose to follow the God who created the universe, the King of Kings, the King of heaven and earth, then we're going to stand before him one day, eternity in front of us, and he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen?
Amen.